You could turn over to Matthew 6. That's where we'll start this morning. And it's got a lot of visitors here with us, and we're really encouraged by that. Hopefully what we've been doing and what we continue to do will be encouraging to you. Matthew 6, 33 and 34 reads, "Therefore do not, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And what I want to focus on this morning is the next verse. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What Jesus is saying is take one day at a time. I've got a list of things that I think I've tried to connect with everyone in this room. So if I haven't found something that connects on this thought, I apologize. I'll keep working on it. Have you ever mowed a very large lawn? Have you ever gotten ready to mow a really large lawn and all you have is a little lawnmower? We have teachers here. Have you teachers ever had a time where you have a stack of papers to grade and you got to get them done tonight? Have you ever went on vacation and you get back and you got to do laundry? I know at least one person relates to this one. Have you ever remodeled a house that had water issues? Have you ever remodeled a house that had foundation issues? Have you ever been ready to start a hike up the Rainbow Falls Trail up to Mount LeConte? Have you ever gotten ready to go on a challenging long bike ride? I got a friend at work that rides his bike quite often, but every summer he and some buddies of his go out to Iowa and they ride the width of the state. Pretty big task. Okay, and now we'll see if this works. Have you ever had major surgery and now you have to go through the rehab? Okay, all these things. Some may do a crossword puzzle and you look at the puzzle and you say, how am I ever going to finish that puzzle? And what triggered this study? I play Sudoku, okay, a lot. According to the internet, this is the hardest Sudoku. I don't even know how to say it, which one it is, so I'll say it both ways. This is the hardest one ever devised, okay? And when you look at a puzzle like this, you think, how am I going to solve that? And for those of you who know how to play this, each of these cells is supposed to have 9 numbers in each one of them. And the lines up and down, you can only have one of those numbers. And it can seem overwhelming. What's the point of all this? In all those things I've named, how do you approach it? I've had occasions where I've had a big lawn to mow, and it's very high, and I got this little bitty lawnmower. How are you going to finish? You take it a little step at a time. And those of you who've vacuumed this building, that's kind of an awesome task when you go to start vacuuming. Beth and I, it's our turn. And my turn was to vacuum yesterday. You look at this and like, wow. I even told her, I said, I'm going to be here all afternoon because you start a little bit and then you get it done, right? That's how we do these tough tasks. We start little by little. The only way to solve that puzzle is one cell at a time. That's the only way you do it. It's the same thing with a crossword puzzle. You can only do it one word at a time because each word is dependent on the other. And that's the way all these tasks are. You start rehab after a major surgery. You can't go out and do the things that you normally do right off the bat. You have to start one step at a time. One step at a time. One task at a time. And that's the whole point of what I'm talking about. Sometimes tasks seem impossible. Sometimes they seem like you can't do it. And if you get caught up in the overall task, you know, I can't imagine riding a bicycle from, you know, the width of Iowa. I can't imagine doing something like that. I can't imagine doing some of the bike rides that Nate tells me about. I can't imagine even starting those. But what do? 1 mile at a time, right? 1 mile at a time. You start little by little. If you get caught up in the overall puzzle, you'll get discouraged. And you may just give up trying. You got a stack of papers to grade, what do? You grade one at a time. Well, you got to start, let me get them one at a time. And then after a while, that stack gets lower and lower until you're done. You have a house that's got problems, what do, Brian? One at a time. Aaron, one at a time. You start, you don't try to do everything all at once. You'll get too discouraged. Okay, so that's the preamble to the sermon. What are some things in life that can seem over, you know, what are some ways life can seem overwhelming, like one of these things, like one of these puzzles? And the first one I have, when we overpromise or overcommit. You ever have that problem where you promise somebody you'll do something, and maybe in the back of your mind you're not sure you can do it, but you want to please that person, so you promise them, you overpromise, you overcommit. And what does that do? It causes stress, doesn't it? Because then you realize, man, I've bitten off more than I can chew. Sometimes we overpromise or overcommit. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 33. A passage that maybe we haven't thought about in this realm before. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Notice what Jesus says. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. When we commit to something, when we say, yes, I can do that, try not to overcommit. Don't overcommit. You know, say yes if you know you can do it, but if you're not sure, don't commit to that. Don't get yourself in that bind. That's the takeaway I'm trying to show here. In James chapter 5, James, actually, he says what Jesus says, and he kind of takes it a step further. He says in verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment or hypocrisy. You see that? You say one thing and you do another. You see that? Don't overcommit. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Starting in verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? So here's the thought. Who starts a tower and doesn't think about it? Think about, sit down and count the cost before you finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So here's this idea that we're talking about. Here, Jesus is using building a tower. Or what king going to make war against another does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus is not using this passage the way I'm using it. He's using this passage to say, you know, when you follow me, you know, it's a big commitment. When I'm using these illustrations to show, you know, if we're going to do something, make sure we can do it before we commit to it. Romans chapter 1. And I think about this passage quite often. And it's just for one word that's in the passage. It's talking about people who are of a debased mind against the Lord. Verse 31, undiscerning, undiscerning, untrustworthy. We need to be trustworthy. We say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. We need to do it. When we, you know, some ways we can get overwhelmed is when we overpromise or overcommit. Another way, when we're not patient. Let's go back to James. James chapter 5. We read the verse 12. Let's read some verses that begin before that. Sometimes things can get overwhelming when we're not patient. What happens if you're not patient with your rehab after surgery? Right? I've had surgery, and you get impatient and you can set yourself back. And it takes longer. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Here, the example that James uses is the farmer, you know, being patient, growing his crops. And, you know, he's waiting patiently for the early and the latter rain. You need the rain early to germinate the plants. You need the rain later so they can, you know, give out their fruit. He's using that as an example. Sometimes we get impatient about things. Sometimes we want things to be done immediately, or we want things to go faster than is reasonable. And when we get impatient, we can get overwhelmed really quick. What's another way that we can get overwhelmed in this life? When we only, when we only trust in ourselves. When we only trust in ourselves. We're Christians. We're to trust in the Lord. But aren't we sometimes tempted to trust in ourselves? We think we can do everything. We think we can handle everything. And that's a temptation we need to be careful about. Notice what happened to this fella in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So Jesus makes a statement, a very bold statement in verse 15. Beware of covetousness. This is all around us. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And then he speaks this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, this fellow, he trusted only in himself. He trusted in his crops taking care of him and providing for him. And God calls him a fool. Sometimes we can be tempted to take on things on our own. Maybe we don't want to bother God about it. Now, God has more important things to worry about. He doesn't need to worry about me. Maybe we don't want to put pressure on anybody else that might be able to help us because, they've got enough on their plate. That's very tempting. But what we're doing is we're putting only our trust in ourselves. And see, in this example, Jesus shows, no, you need to put your trust in the Lord and build up treasures for Him. Treasures for the Lord sometimes are not the treasures that man wants us to strive for. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there. Buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. James is telling us, it's not up to us. It's not up to us. It's up to the Lord whether we do this or that. And we need to remember that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I like looking at this passage quite a bit because, we enjoy so many luxuries in this world, in our country. And we need to be reminded of their place and what we're to do with them and how to use them. 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Notice this next line. Nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Again, here's this thought. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, they may lay hold on eternal life. Uncertain riches. Sometimes we put our trust in uncertain riches. And really what we're doing is we're only trusting in ourselves when we do that. Jeremiah chapter 9. We've had a really good study in Jeremiah, and there's a lot of good things in the book. And this passage kind of struck me. Jeremiah 9, starting in verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glorifies glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. He's the one that gives us everything we have. We need to trust in Him. And then we won't get overwhelmed in this life. And the last one I want to look at this morning. When we put too much pressure on ourselves. You ever do that? You ever put too much pressure on yourself? You have so many things you want to accomplish, so many things you want to do, and you don't stop to think, of the pressure you're putting on yourself. Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 3. Here's one that put too much pressure in himself, and notice what happened. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas should have went to the Lord. He didn't have to end things this way. He put too much pressure on himself. Acts chapter 1, we get a little bit more insight to what happened. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Judas knew about Jesus. Judas knew about his preaching. Judas knew about his character. He knew the heart of Jesus. He knew the mercy of Jesus. Verse 18. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that field is called in their own language, Akel Dama, that is field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. We can get overwhelmed when we put too much pressure on ourselves. The Lord was there to help Judas. The apostles were there to help Judas. Put it in our time. When we start putting too much pressure on ourselves, we need to reach out to our brethren. We need to reach out to God. We don't need to be in that place where we're feeling the pressure and it seems to mount daily. That's what happened with Judas. He just got overwhelmed and put too much pressure on himself. Matthew chapter 11. Notice the antidote to this. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, we don't need to put too much pressure on ourselves. We have the Lord. We have the Lord to help us bear our burdens. And here's a little summary thought for us to think about. If we do not keep our proper focus, we will fail. It's not about us trying to conquer and solve on our own. It's about complete submission to Jesus first, and then taking each day one by one with Him by our side. We already read Matthew 6:33. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice Paul's approach, which is a good approach. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you think about somebody who went through trials in this life, somebody who could get overwhelmed if he let it by being overcommitted or not patient or trusting in himself or putting too much pressure on himself. Paul could deal with, he could relate to all those things, but this is his approach. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's He that's living in me. And that's going to take care of all this thing. And then we can focus on taking it one day at a time. 2 Timothy 4:18. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord will deliver me. This is, again, Paul. And the Lord will deliver me. He's sitting in prison. He's by himself, defending himself. He's in prison. He's defending himself. He's all alone. This is his attitude. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve for me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul shows us how we can deal with, how we can keep from getting overwhelmed in this life. When we have a task that's in front of us, it seems overwhelming. Bill led a song, and I asked him to lead 423. And he led some other great songs that go with that. And I appreciate that very, very much. But turn to 423. I don't have the PowerPoint up here. If I had a bit more wisdom, I could have integrated that. But just open your songbooks to number 423. I just want to read the last verse. One step at a time, dear Savior. Oh, guard my faltering feet. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I my journey complete. Keep hold of my hand. You know, if you want to put it a different way, don't let go to Jesus' hand. Hold on to his hand. Realize that you need him every day. You can't let go of him. Because if you do, then things in this life will get overwhelming. But with him by your side, you won't fail. And then this thought, one step, just take one step at a time with him, and you'll make it. One step at a time, you'll make it. I know, I remember when my son Daniel and Blake decided to get married. I think Aaron came up with the idea to hike to Mount Lacan as our bachelor party. And I was one of the old guys in the hiking trip, and we had backpacks because we were camping and stuff. So we get 7 miles up, and then we get hit with torrential downforce and a thunderstorm. And I'm thinking, we got another mile and a half to go. How are we going to do it? And then we're on the side of that. If you've ever been up there, there's like a ridge, and then there's this like little steel thing you hold on to. And the rain's pouring down, and you got your backpack, and you're thinking, what do? One step at a time. That's how you get there. One step at a time. What a beautiful thought from this song. One step at a time. Hopefully this lesson will maybe help a little bit appreciate what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33 and 34, one more time. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Maybe one of the Christians here has been struggling. You don't need to be alone in that. We have brethren here to help, but we, more importantly, have the Lord to help with you. And you can lean on the Lord, and you can lean on your brethren. There's no reason for you to be overwhelmed. If you're not a Christian, you're not seeking first the Lord's kingdom. It's as simple as that. You need to become a child of God. The first step you need to make is from our Bible reading this morning that Brother Drew read for us. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. The scene is Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns in prison. And it's heard. And the doors were open. And the keeper of the prison is ready to kill himself, because he thinks they've left. And if he's lost his prisoners, he's dead. So he's ready to kill himself, verse 27. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. See, in the moment, he was overwhelmed with that. He was overwhelmed with, you know what? They're gone. They're going to kill me, so I'm going to do this. Verse 28, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do not do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them out into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Think about this prisoner now a little bit. He's at one moment, he's ready to kill himself because he's been overwhelmed with the situation that he doesn't have any hope. Then Paul speaks to him. He becomes a Christian, and he's no longer worried about what whoever's in charge of the prison are thinking or whatever. He's rejoicing, having believed in God and all his household. If you're not a Christian, that's what you need to do. And then you can rejoice no matter what comes up in this life. You can rejoice like the Philippian jailer. Please let us know how we can help you as we stand and sing.